Hi, you are listening to the Defender Wellbeing Collective podcast, a space where you will learn about our shared journey, how the collective started, what we have learned along the way, and the important issue we explore together. I'm your host, Nanda, a feminist activist, storyteller, and the founder of Purple Feminist Crew from Myanmar. Welcome to our space, and thank you for listening. Hello, hello. Welcome to our podcast, Aras. How are you doing?
Hello, I'm doing good. How are you doing? Happy to be here.
Yes, me too. I'm really happy to speak with you today. First of all, let's start with who is Aras and what are they? What do they do for the society? And anything about you that you need people to know? Let's talk about it.
Well, yes, my name is Aras, the first thing, and maybe the first thing that comes to my mind is I am a LGBTIQ rights activist and doing, involving and learning from queer movements since almost 10 years now. And started my journey in Turkey, traveled a lot, went there, been there, lived there, but always on the same point. I am a lover of community, and I am also a lover of kind of creating solidarity spaces, meeting people, connecting with people, and making my life through this as well. And this is it. And apart from that, I am a dog daddy. And yes, I like plants, nature activities. I like listening to music, sometimes also playing music. And yes,
DJ.
a little bit, let's say.
I love that. I love that you're balancing your life as an activist, but also as a person outside of activism. That's really beautiful. And that's what we are here to talk about, you know, being an activist and doing what you are doing, especially around LGBTQI plus matters. It is really challenging, regardless of which part of the world that you are living in. And I want to ask you personally, politically, economically, socially, in whatever sense, as an activist, do you feel the isolation and the sense of isolation, you know? And what did that isolation feel like for you before? And where do you think it comes from? I know, I'm sure you now know how to navigate it, but where do you think that sense of isolation comes from, and if there is any, and how do you navigate that?
Well, that's actually, I think I have been through very different types of isolation. For example, like being born as a queer, not even being doing activism or other human rights movements, you already feel isolated because the society treats you and sees you differently, wants to put you in boxes. So you overcome that. And in my case, I overcome that with activism. But then within the activism, after some time, you notice that you're also sometimes isolated from community in general, because you stuck up maybe in a place that you are with activists, let's say like too radical for most of the queers maybe in the country that you're living. So I think it's also another type of isolation. And another type of isolation also came when I moved to Germany. Now I'm based here, and as a minority, there is also lots of racism, discrimination, and you also feel isolated. Even though there is a majority Turkish community here, I am still queer, and it's also again going back to that type of isolation. So it's a bit back and forth with different types of isolations. I think it's a part of the journey, but I genuinely think it comes from people putting labels and putting each other in boxes, and sometimes we are also feeling comfortable in those boxes because we have our journeys, we find ourselves, it's safe, it's good, but I think it's not the best way at the end, because you know this, for any type of change, you need to get out of those boxes. So, and going back to queer movement, leaving the closet, so-called, like leaving that box is one of the key things. So I think it stems from that type of conservatism and putting yourself in a safe place because you don't want to get hurt. But in the same time, you want to explore. So I think the isolation is very both senses. It's very good to it teaches you a lot. But I think It's best when it's more overcome because I think as humans we are social creatures. I don't think we're supposed to be very isolated overall.
I really love how you emphasize about just your existence alone creates isolation for being who you are and how you are, and let alone not just like we are not even touching the activist part. And being an activist aggravates more isolation because people don't speak the same just and human rights language as you do. People don't value the same thing as you do, and it creates tension between family members, friends, society, sometime even in religious group, you know. So that's really painful. And a lot of people, I think, who are listening to this are also might be going through this kind of isolation. And we just want to let them know that you're not alone. And speaking of not being alone, we were part of DWC cohort together, where it brings so many people who are from different culture, background, languages, and different struggle even, you know. So how did that felt like for you being in this globalness community? What did you learn that is similar to you and that is like different thing for you that you learned from other activists?
Of course, I learned a lot actually, like throughout all our activities as a cohort, not only the physical meeting we did. I learned a lot, and I think it was a great opportunity to come together with people who are very similar to you, like same values, you share the same goals, but also, as you said, we are not just activists, we are also individuals. We have our different things we do, we have hobbies or interests and different life stories. So kind of seeing that different aspect of it because I'm very familiar with the narrative that I know from Turkey. So we know the same issues, same political agendas, and we share a lot of same values. But sometimes I think it puts you stuck in the same place because the people that you are surrounded with are from the same place and they know everything. But then I think it limits your chances to learn different things and also just a little bit go above. Like imagine you're in the maps, looking at the maps, and then you go way behind, and then you see there are many similar realities happening, but there are also many counter strategies that you can learn from each other. And also not just about activism as a person as well, because I believe as activists, we have really good purposes and good resources to learn from each other, not only about work, about being a nice human, about sharing good values, talking to each other, getting to know each other. So having that kind of space that allows you to connect people, not only through activism, but also aspect of well-being and resilience, helps you to feel stronger on the work that you're already doing in the ground. Because this is what I found. I was like understanding, I am doing okay actually. Like I'm doing good, that the things that I was questioning whether it's okay to do was okay. And also in the same time, there are more areas that I can improve myself and also support my communities better through the things I learn and kind of reflected also about myself. You know, there is always a self-doubt, I think, because of maybe queerness also creates that you always check yourself, like whether I'm valid, whether is this good, whether I'm doing enough or working enough. But then you see that validation is a Western thing, so it doesn't exist. You do you in your own context. That's one of the biggest things that I learned from DWC cohort, because before I was mainly connected with national and sometimes regional collectives. So having this kind of big group that is very representative and not only coming from queer and feminist movements, even though they share that values, maybe they are different ty types of work and activism. So great opportunities and learning chances, I think.
Oh my God, what you said is like so eye-opening in a sense that, you know, before I elaborate on this, I want to interject and ask about what, like, how does the isolation you feel within your country and in Germany has been different for you? Like, how has it been different? I know you explained a bit earlier, but as an activist, how does it feel like?
Yes, I mean, definitely in the country, you feel the isolation, but you kind of live there. For example, for me in Turkey, I am from there, I know there. So My activism comes from that you want to isolate me, but you cannot because I am a part of this community. I grow up here, I share these values and so on. So you feel more confident, more motivated. And even though when you get through horrible stuff, maybe the impact is also worse because you know it. But it still feels like you're doing activism for people to not to get you, understand you as a stranger, but rather so-called normal. It's existing, no? But here, on contrast, you are Ausländer, the foreigner. So whatever you do, it's limited to that box, no? They can value your ideas, even with the organizing here with different groups, no? So they value your ideas, they value your contributions, but it's still limited. Like you are not the main focus. You are just like a little bit of spice, but you're not the main spice. So this is what I've been feeling through in different communities, in different countries, especially doing activism. And I think the practices of care is very different. Now I'm living in like a very Western context. So it's the way people organize, the way people interact, the way people protest is not the same or I'm used to it. So you kind of feel that isolation that you want to find someone that is closer to you. Luckily, it's a nice space. There are many queer people coming from the similar regions, similar practices. So, but finding those spaces is very limited. And you also deal with lots of stuff like your residence permit, your security issues, insurance, like all this bureaucratical stuff that you want to arrive at a point where you feel so secure, then you can open yourself. But it doesn't end. That's the loophole. So then it makes you more and more isolated. So despite all this bureaucracy and oppression and discrimination that you face, you still need to go out and find some people to connect, I think, because otherwise it leads you to a bigger isolation, and we know it's not a good thing at the end.
Yeah, I think you totally sort of bring a lot of nuances in that. And with regard to DWC cohort, you know what I feel? I feel quite the opposite of what you felt in Turkey and in Germany. Because when I'm in my country, because of the ethnic background that I hold, I feel quite isolated. I feel like a stranger to my own community. But when I go to international spaces, and when I go to, cohort like DWC cohort, I feel like everyone is like me. Everyone feels isolated. And then when all these isolated people come together, it just makes you feel like it's a party. It's a party. We're not alone anymore. And strangely, on international spaces or in different countries, I feel like I have more authority on what I speak because I am representing the truth of my country. It's kind of weird feeling because as I was hearing what you were saying, it was kind of enlightening in a sense that it makes me reflect on my own journey. And I'm sure the listeners are going to do the same or similar things as we are doing together. Isn't that interesting?
Yes, no, very interesting. Also, when you were talking, I am thinking that I also felt the similar way with you regarding DWC. I was more mentioning on the queer collectives that are based here, for example, but I think it's a very unique thing, and thankfully for DWC, because I think it also comes down how you open the space so that you feel yourself authentically. And then you feel that you're very similar to these people. So the isolation goes away immediately. And as you said, the party starts. So I definitely agree with you. I think the isolation is like comes and goes until it goes all the way within a group. So I think DWC offered it perfectly well.
I totally agree. It's almost like it was a space for us to remember that we are normal. What we are going through is normal and our existence matters. And it was almost like a self-care practice, And speaking of which, that what you were saying earlier is self-care practice, like personal or collective, like DWC was practically our collective care system, And do you have anything like that, like the care practice that you do for yourself, for with the community, and for the community. Would you mind sharing one or two examples you carry with you? It could be daily, monthly, or annually that you do that brings you to your root and makes you feel grounded and less isolated.
Definitely. I think the first thing is kind of making, as you said, kind of creating care systems and building care around you. And for me, the best way, like first to go, is my small group of friends that are all consist of queer people, obviously. So they're where I feel open and safe, and then I feel grounded as well. So they are kind of having those key groups, and also it can be places as well. What's kind of having this map when you feel like you're stuck, where to go, or when you feel isolated, like what are the options? Because sometimes you also don't want to see anyone. So in that sense is when I want to be with myself, for me, journaling helped a lot. And I was very suspicious about it because I hate writing, honestly. So I am now trying to love it more because it helps a lot. And also having a walk, like, because I am also very, like, the connection with my body has been changed a lot throughout the activism as well. Like, noticing the burdens that you carry on your body was very enlightening. Like, even though I'm now talking, I feel like goosebumps because, you put a lot of weight, like, on your shoulders with the within the things you see, things you hear, things you work on, or things you've been through yourself also. So kind of getting any type of body practices, it can be just stretching, like just that basic level, because I am not a very good sportive, or I don't enjoy a lot, but I think that helps a lot. And one thing that I learned a lot on DWC was the aromatherapy. So our dearest boss, you remember, she gifted us some small gifts, and I still smell it sometimes when I want to calm down. And that's one of the things I do. And apart from that, taking breaks, like learning and normalizing taking breaks.
So
No
important.
explanation needed. Just take a break.
Oh, I think it's beautiful. And I especially love the part where you said how much our body, especially as queer person and as activist, we carry so much trauma, not just of ourselves, but every injustice that happened in our community, in the world, we feel them so deeply, so passionately that it makes our body feel, a lot of things than other normal non-activist people, I must say. And I think it's very important what you said about body movement. I want to emphasize on that quickly, relating to that. When before I started my journey as an activist, I was physically really active and I was really super healthy. But now that I do activist work, it requires a lot of chaotic traveling, chaotic eating schedules, and sitting on the desk. A lot of things are unmovable things, except for the protest and riot things, And it feels frustrated in a sense that our body changes, like literally physically changes too. And it when you look at your body, I'm just, what happened to my body? What happened to my skin? And that reflects a lot on our mental health journey as well, no?
No, I totally agree. And you also tend to forget listening to your body law, So that's one of the key things that I kind of still remind myself. I don't think I'm able to listen to it 100% still, but I totally agree with you. And I think it's also sometimes creates and supports this isolation, because when you come together with people, like physically, you feel another energy, I think. You feel another fire also. So sometimes you don't have it when you're alone in your room writing something or doing some other stuff. But when you go out and meet with people, when buddies come together, and it also reminded me, one of the nicest things that I do is I like dancing. I love dancing. So when you're surrounded in an atmosphere with many people just dancing and just doing it freely in a safe atmosphere, then you feel that the stress and the pain is sometimes goes away, it gets into the air. And I really like that as well, like coming physical touch. Oh, but that's also a personal thing, obviously. And one more thing I forgot to add. When you said that in the isolation in the your country, for example, because of your ethnic minority, that's a thing that I should also clear out. I have a Turkish background, so I am not an ethical my ethnical minority in my country or racial minority. So I also want to highlight that I am very privileged on that sense, that coming from my country, not experiencing it, because Turkey is horrible with how they treat the ethnic minorities, Kurdish people, Armenian people, Greek people. So that also makes the isolation more and more. So for me, coming from, we say in Turkey, white Turkish background. So coming from that type of background obviously gives you lots of privilege. We can put it somewhere there, but
Of course, I appreciate you acknowledging your privilege because that is part of being an activist, acknowledging your privileges, so that you are doing a service to the community, not just dismissing it or, hiding your privilege. That's part of care system. And I want to ask you about when we go back to DWC. I know you mentioned about Foz giving that aromatherapy thing, which was beautiful and calming, and it was so enlightening in so many ways. Are there anything else when it comes to collective care, tips or ideas that you've learned or that have shifted after being part of DWC? What was your one or two big takeaway from DWC regards to community care or collective care?
I think two things. One thing is more about the aim of the group. Like for me, it reminded that it is possible to build some kind of care system, regardless of you have resources, funding, or anything. If you are in a group of people, there is resources. That is the resource that you need to talk about care, I think. And I think it's also both our individual responsibility and collective responsibility to talk about care in our communities. So, because if no one talks, nobody will ever talk, because this is what we learn. We learn not to talk about our well-being. So that is like the key messages for me. That is very pushing. And I think because sometimes isolation also brings a lack of kind of lack of appetite for new things, because you hear a lot, you read a lot, you don't want to learn new things. But for me, this DWC cohort was very much on contrary and gave me actually motivation. So when I went back, I was feeling energized, not tired from trip, not tired from anything, just energized and motivated. And this is one of the things, like overall. Apart from that, obviously the small things, like how it organizes itself, how it holds the space. And sometimes even in the well-being spaces, when the emotions come out, people just want to wrap it and then go back to the agenda. I was so happy that it has never been done. All the feelings when we want were addressed and talked, and then we all came to the same place again. Without talking and saying we need to go back to the point, we have 15 minutes. It wasn't like that at all. So this is what I liked, also the care that both facilitators and also participants put into it. And I think that's the outcome of this thing, that when everyone is motivated, wants to do this together, and also allows themselves being themselves authentically, so that at the end where you arrive is still very good, even though you didn't talk about that, let's say, specific topic, which also didn't happen. So I think it shows that when you allow that kind of spaces to kind of co-organize themselves, I think the space become the outcome itself. I don't know if it's maybe too but
No, I think that's really beautiful. As you were sharing those two beautiful examples, what makes me immediately like nostalgia is when we were meeting in person in Nepal, and some of us were really sick because of the food or because of the weather. And I remember the DWC hold the space for us, those who don't want to go back in the room and rest, to sleep within the room. There were people who were sitting and discussing, and there were people that were just lying down, half sleeping, but half also listening. And that was the first and probably going to be the only place where you can do those things simultaneously, actively listen and lying down and listening. And I thought that was the most human thing one can ever do, right?
Yes, and also one funny thing, like when you said that, I just remembered, like also in the in-person meeting, I think it was one of the first activities, like just arrived type of activity. And I cried now because I was like telling a story and you came to me and like Foz also came, like gave me a water, gave me a hug. That was super sweet. But also like thinking about opening the space, I never cried in meetings. Like I am usually the person who shows less emotion, let's say. But on contrary, I felt so comfortable and it came out automatically. And afterwards, I didn't also judge myself, like, why do you do this? But instead, I was so happy that I relieved my emotions and got support. So that kind of space was beautiful as well.
Oh my God, that is so beautiful, Aras. Oh, I'm teary already that you share that beautiful moment. You just picture it for all the listeners as well. And I'm feeling that emotions of joy and humanity restore, you know. So I appreciate so much for sharing. And we appreciate DWC for bringing all of beautiful human beings and activists together in the same room. And if you could, I want to ask one advice. Oh, I mean, it could be multiple advice for someone who have been who is isolated right now. If you can talk to them directly, what would you like to say to them? Because we've all been isolated, and we didn't have people directly addressing our isolation and encouraging us. But if you can have that chance to address someone, a young activist who's beginning their journey as a queer person or whatever human rights works that they are doing, what advice or what suggestions and what kind words would you like to tell them that you didn't get to hear?
Yes. First thing is, isolation is good at until some point where you equip yourself with lots of stuff. You learn a lot from your isolation. But after some point, you will begin to notice that everything will become same because then you're stuck with yourself. So try to go out as much as possible, connect as much as possible. I know it's not easy, it's hard. You always have to push yourself, but just a little bit. Don't also blame yourself for wanting to be isolated or you feel like nobody will understand you. It's okay to feel that way, but it's not correct. There are people who are just like you, maybe like 1,000 kilometers away, but there are ways to connect with them. And also in your communities, like you can always return to your communities and find some aspect of belonging in community. And as years will pass by, you will notice it that as an activist, the things you talk are probably not understood by majority of the communities that you live in. So just accept it on the way. Don't blame yourself for huge power imbalances that you're trying to operate within. And remember, there are still communities and collectives that kinds of breaks that isolation for you, and joint movement is much better than individual activism.
Preach, 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 preach. I love that. Joint movement is better than individual activism. I totally agree with that sentence 100%. And that's such a beautiful wrap. And thank you for sharing all the beautiful and intelligence advices on care. Isolation is an ugly thing when you're the one who is going through it. But it is through that tunnel you learn to embrace the community, the people that hold your hands, the people who give you their shoulder to cry on, the people who brings you a cup of coffee, the people who say, "I'm right here, go ahead. Even if you fail, I'm right here. You're not alone." And I think all we need, regardless of being an activist or not, everyone deserve a friend who can be there for them to make them feel a little less lonely. So I appreciate you for being here, Aras. Thank you for being a delightful speaker.
Thank you so much for all your work into this. I was really happy to do this, and I hope, as you said, it's helped some people, it goes to somewhere, and I'm sure it will. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Thank you for joining us on the Defenders Wellbeing Collective podcast as we shared with you bits and pieces of our solidarity journey. If you enjoyed listening to this episode, please share it with your fellow activists. This space reminds us that even in resistance, we deserve rest. Take care of yourself and one another.